You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Lineken, and I'm here with my co-host,
James Rich.
Hi, James.
Hello.
So last week we ended breaking down Matthew 16:13-20. So we're going to start there this week. But before we do, let's do a little intro of why we're doing this, right? So Kingdom Recovery is about, it's a rescue mission, Kingdom Recovery, to rescue the lost, the even Christians that aren't living in a kingdom lifestyle, in kingdom mindset. It's to set captives free of the old mentality, right? So even though we're born again, it doesn't mean our minds have been renewed. God wants to bring us back, calls it renewing of the mind, right? So that we can be transformed. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind, which means he wants to bring us back to the original function of our minds in the garden with him. So when we get born again, we're put back in that place, in that position, what before Adam fell.
We're a new creation.
We're a new creation back in the way he created us to be, his original plan and purpose for us. But we had to completely die and be resurrected as a new man, the new man identity. And it's Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? So a lot of us are walking around claiming to be born again, but living a life in prison of the mind.
Yeah, because our spirit man is born again, but our minds have to be renewed by the washing of the water of the word.
Amen. Amen. And it does say, you know, we're born by water and spirit. We must be born again in water, your birth, to be a man, right? And then in spirit, to be reborn, birth in spirit man. So, but the Holy Spirit is here for us as humans. When we die and go to heaven temporarily until there's the new earth, right? The new world. We won't need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us here. We'll be one with the Father completely in spirit. The Spirit's here to fill us up, to keep us, to protect us, to lead us, to guide us, so that we can walk by spirit with him. And He can lead us into all truth to Christ. So step one, when Kingdom Recovery was given to me through my journey, with even before I knew Christ, he knew me, right? So he was like there for the whole thing. So my intro to Alcoholics Anonymous, all different kind of anonymouses I was introduced to, because I had lots of different addictions. And when I say addictions, or how's this, sinful behaviors, they weren't addictions like I was addicted to anger. Like I used to black out, you know, when I got rageful enough, where I would say and do whatever I wanted in a blackout and justify it. Like, well, if that person didn't make me feel that way, you know, and it's the same thing. I used to justify drinking and drugging and All the behaviors that I chose to be my little gods. Remember we talked about that, about when I went to Italy, when I went to Israel, they have these carvings in the mountains with all these little some of them are saints or whatever they're worshiping, right? The different gods, and not all the gods that I chose were appeared to be evil. I mean, I chose going back. I was just talking to Dave about this when I came into sobriety, you know, making a decision not to drink a drug. I had an opportunity to go to school, and I thought that would fix me. I had an opportunity to, you know, go into the workforce and do well, and I thought that would fix me, save me. I thought getting married would save me. I thought having children would save. All these things were good things that I was putting as my saviors, you know. And there's only one, and that one is Jesus Christ. And without Him, I was just chasing myself everywhere, basically. I would always find myself and not Him. And, you know, I'm a sinner. I was broken. And today I don't have to be that person because now I live in Christ. Hello. And who's ever listening, this is the same message for you. We don't have to live that way anymore. So in Matthew 16, 13, 20, I'll read it again, and we'll start here this week so we can try to get through it because I think it's important. It goes hand in hand with the first step of 12-step recovery, or, you know, any kind of, the whole thing is to just confess or to admit that we were powerless over whatever the problem was. You know, for me, it was drugs. It wasn't even drinking at the time, but I'm sure it could have been, you know what I mean? Like if I just chose a drug that was my master, basically my God. And then after I put that down, it became other things very quickly in place of that because I didn't have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So until I put Jesus Christ there, and then I had to put Him in all the areas of my life, not just in that one place, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's when I confessed or admitted that I was powerless, that I was broken, that I had a problem, and my life had become unmanageable where I could not think myself out of it. I couldn't manage my way out of it. I couldn't work my way out of it anymore. I had to get to a place like all of us have to get to that place where there's no other options, where we're so broken that we tried everything, where we've exhausted ourselves in trying to fix ourselves or have someone else fix us or some place fix us or something fix us, that we surrender. It's a surrender that I can't do this anymore and I need help. And that's the opportunity for people like myself who are in these places, these arenas that God puts, these platforms, that we can introduce Jesus Christ to someone. Now, it took me a long time. I don't even know if anybody said His name to me as being the higher power. I don't believe anybody ever did. But being in the facilities of these places, like as a counselor or as a member of 12-step programs or as a member of church or a member of my family, I get an opportunity to bring truth forth so that people don't have to be deceived into believing it could be a doorknob or it could be a mountain or it could be Buddha or it could be go to yoga like we were talking or it could be, you know, anything else but Jesus Christ. Because I tried a lot of things in all the years that I was a member of that, of 12-step programs. I tried many things, and I never, until I put Jesus there, until I tried Jesus on, my life changed completely. My life always remained the same. I always found myself in that same desperate place, no matter what I tried, until Jesus reigned in my heart. So in Matthew 16, 13 through 20, and this is Peter's declaration about Jesus, and this is why Jesus asks, who do you say I am? And then He gets personal with us. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means the rock, and upon this rock, and that means upon knowing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that's the faith that we have to stand on and believe in, that Jesus is the Savior, Lord and Savior. He was sent, and in those days, that's the Torah, the Old Testament, all of it was leading to, he completely knew what he was saying. The promise of a Savior, a Deliverer, King from David, someone from from King David's bloodline coming. And when Jesus said that, they knew that he meant Messiah, anointed one, the Lord, a King, the promised Savior. They knew what he was saying. So, and then, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Praise the Lord. Because not everybody could be with Jesus at that moment. Had to be when the Holy Spirit came down, right? Hallelujah. So,
yeah, and I also knew what fate, I always felt like just reading the Bible before I ever went to church or anything, that it's because he knew he was going to be crucified.
Yes.
Like, yeah. He knew his time was coming.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So the question is really, who do we say Jesus is? And, you know, when people walk into or call me and you know, whether they're going through turmoil, sometimes you got to bring them back to that first day they got saved in their spiritual, in the first problem that they had. And you have to say, you remember that? Jesus is the way. He's the life. He's the truth. And because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy that truth from us, our faith, who we're standing on. So he'll take a situation and he'll make it like, okay, so an example, like when I did finally surrender, it wasn't because of drinking and drugs that I surrendered. I surrendered because I was tired of being sucked into the pit of hell of depression, you know? But all of that other stuff I realized was everything I was seeking in trying to be a good person or have a good life or, you know, just be normal. Like thought it was, you know, like, you know, be like what everybody else was doing. Like, you know, I all those things never led me to the freedom and the peace that Jesus had led me to. You know, I had to put him in all my affairs, because every time I didn't put him in a situation, in a place in my life, a major thing, whether it was finances, my relationships, even my divorce. Okay. I got divorced way before I met Jesus, and it was brutal because I had skill sets and somewhat belief systems from being in the program of, you know, I was wired a little differently because we are supposed to forgive. You know, we had these 12 steps. So I was doing these works, but it wasn't eternal. It wasn't eternal forever. It was like just for the moment, and then it would fleet. And then I'd have to work again to try to keep that going. You know, like, oh, you know, I'm going to get on the phone, or I'm going to have to deal with a situation with this person. And you would try to muster up. Today it's freedom. I can answer a phone. I can go to a place. I can laugh and just be who God created me to be. Love and peace and joy. Because it's him flowing, you know? So when in the first verse, the first 13 and verses 13 and 14, it says that he came and he asked them, who do the people say? And they said, John the Baptist, Elijah, and all these people. And we're talking about different gods, different. And if we see Jesus, and I was guilty of it, as just a man or a prophet or a teacher, you know, I was going around declaring that, you know, like I had a belief that he was important, but I didn't know him to be, I couldn't understand the concept Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one. You know, he's just an important part of God. And I believe that. And of course, you know, I would be like, in the name of Father, so forgive me, Father, you know, kind of say, not for believing that, but when I did things wrong, because I didn't want to go to hell, you know? So I had that religious mindset, you know? So AA told me God is, we understood him, you know, to believe in something. And so did my parents in a way. And so did my friends. And so did, I went to Catholic school. So it was, you know, a God that just, a good God that pleased me pretty much. It was never, I never, and maybe I was just that blind and deaf and lame. I was talking about that today too, you know, lame meaning broken, that I couldn't even hear his, like, who, maybe somebody did, but I don't remember it at all. I never said, never questioned it, you know, in all the different places that I was influenced in my life. I had sponsors. No one said higher power, Jesus seated at the highest place, authority, power to stomp on demons and do all these things. So I just never placed him there until that day when in the midst of it all, he showed up and I knew I needed to find out who he is and who he was in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and in the Now Testament, the Holy Spirit in me, Now Testament. Hallelujah, right? Amen. So we talked a little bit about that last week, about believing in different things, or even believing in God, but not the one true God, like not fully Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I it's just, there's a difference, you know, like I believed in God, but I didn't know him. That's the only way I can say it. I just didn't know him. I just believed in him. So all the people around me at that time, this is an opportunity for me in my life to share who Jesus is with people. You know, my daughter shared with me what a blessing it is that she's having a baby and that that baby can come right into the kingdom and know who Jesus is and know, you know, eventually they have to make a decision on their own. But the point is, generations before this didn't enter into the kingdom and have the knowledge or the, you know, someone saying you can go that way if you choose, you know, if you choose to, which is a blessing. Like, that's the greatest gift that we get, is that we can share the good news, what God has done in our lives, what Jesus has done for me, to someone else, you know, and get them off that lost path and into the kingdom. So Jesus is, okay? So even Christians struggle with knowing who he is. You know, who is Jesus? Who is he to you? So I struggled with knowing him, even, you know, in places that I was at where people were changing their lives, it still wasn't, eternal promises and riches in our lives. So that was the first two. So I rested on other people's laurels. And what does it mean, my laurels? I invested on other people's laurels, on their shrubs, what they were hiding behind their God. Because laurels mean shrubs. Isn't that funny, right? I thought right away, like, when he said, where are you, Adam? You know, he was hiding behind a shrub, you know, a different belief system, basically. And or wreaths or crowns, that's what it means. It means to honor, praise, bestow others' beliefs. So I did that. I gave honor to what other people were doing. I followed the pack to be satisfied with others' beliefs. So that was a part of my own laziness and sloth too, because I believed, well, I would believe with my sight, you know, my faith. Like, oh, they have a good life. I'll do what they're doing. I'll believe what they have a good God. I wasn't thinking it like that, but my behaviors were acting it like that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, so maybe it is money. Maybe it is education. Maybe it is being a mother. Maybe it is, you know, being a wife. Maybe it is all these things. But the truth was, it was only Jesus Christ. So I invested myself into what other people were believing. And it made me go deeper into lost rabbit holes, actually, right? So, and now today I can get to see by our discernment when we're hearing, the more we know Christ, the more we know about the kingdom, the more we live in the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, and have a kingdom mindset, the more we can hear how lost people really are. And it's not to point at them or to shame them, or it's to help guide them, reach out your hand and lead them in love. It's to be an example so that they, like I was looking through the eyes, so was everybody else. That's how they come. But be the perfect, be the power of example so that they can see how spiritual maturity in the kingdom really looks here on earth, and draw people into that, right? So I was not seeking for myself. And then when I got down to a place where I was really, really at my bottom again, spiritually, it was a spiritual bottom, not a physical one like it had been in the past with drinking and drugging and, you know, fornication and all that stuff. Now it was more spiritual for me. That's when I realized I needed to seek God, you know. And so Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And I really had to start asking questions, seeking. Because the first question I said is, God, what do you want me to do? I just did that on Monday and he started directing me. Praise the Lord. You know, I came to myself again. Self-discovery that I'm not acting like I should be acting. We need to get to that place. And I did on Monday, believe me. And you know, snot and tears crying and dogs walking. And I've realized this is me having to surrender and let God lead and guide me, you know. And I feel free. I feel freedom now. But I had to get to that place of getting out from behind the bush and becoming transparent, you know. And then sharing it with another person too. So the result of my ignorance due to not knowing who Jesus is my harvest, what I grow, the fruit of the flesh. I started growing more anger, right? What does this say in Galatians 5:19-21? Let's read it. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, before I started seeking him, I was seeking the worldly things. So what was I going to produce? What was I growing? What kind of fruit was I going to produce? And let me tell you, fruit looks pretty on the outside, but you can, and I know everybody, you can identify, somebody's identifying with this. You can bite into it and it has no flavor. Or you can bite into it and it's just, it's rotten inside, you know? And that's pretty much, you know, I made things look pretty on the outside. So I'm sure somebody would say, oh, I would like to bite that. And then it wasn't so sweet inside, you know? So the results are very clear. And this is when you follow your desire, the desires of your sinful nature. It says the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I can't partake in the inheritance of the promises of God, of the kingdom of, because my obviously, because my king is not the king of prosperity, victory, love, peace, joy. I'm living in an opposite way. So my king, my lowercase g gods, are going to be idolatry, pride, Satan, and his demons. And the fruit that I will produce will be from the darkness. So Ephesians 4:18 says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. So it's not no coincidence, it says confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So I close my mind. I can't, I'm not speaking the right thing. I'm unwilling to learn truths. the truth, Jesus truths, the Word of God truths. I'm relying on worldly truths or my own perceptions, which are off because my heart's not right. My heart is hard. So in verse 15, it says, then he asked them, but who do you say I am? So God wants to know who you listening right now, say he is. He gets personal with us. And the answer will depend on what you know and believe in the Word of God, in Jesus. He is the Word. Is he the Messiah, the Word made flesh to you? Is he the only Savior, Lord, owner of all of your heart, all of your life, and Savior to rescue you from that sinful, nature that we can so easily be tempted to, be drawn to, in the mind, okay?
What the enemy's been telling you your whole life, do you believe that, or what the Word of God tells you about yourself?
Amen, amen.
The enemy's been on all of us from birth.
That's right. So until I got saved, until I got born again, and not only born again, but had the faith to walk as Jesus as my Messiah, following Christ in faith, right? I believed a lie. I was programmed. My mind was programmed in a worldly way, in a natural sensory way. What I see, what I hear, what I touch, what I taste, right? So, and that's what I relied on. But when you get born again and you choose to follow the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit, he shows you another sixth sense dimension, another fourth dimension that's beyond this world, that's reliant on heavenly, divine nature, your spirit man, your inner man nature. And he can communicate with you that way because he's spirit. Spirit to spirit. Hallelujah. Right? So just as Christ was leading the disciples to know and proclaim his deity when he asked, who do men say I am? He asks us individually, each one of us, you know, are going to be confronted with that. So in our life, he's going to say that when we're suffering in our finances, he's going to say that when we're believing the lies of our health, he's going to say, okay, well, either I am or I am not. We have to make that decision. Are you going to follow what he says about that situation or not? You know, we can say we're born again and we're going into heaven, but are we living as it is in heaven here on earth in every area of our life? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us by renewing our minds? We can't get transformed. How do you know the fruit? How do you know when someone loves God? How does he know? He says by their fruit. We're going to read the fruit of the Spirit too. John 1:1-2 says, in the beginning, the Word, Jesus, already existed. The Word, Jesus, was with God. The Word was God. Jesus was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Hallelujah. So John 1:14 says, so the Word, Jesus, became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory. The glory of the Father's one and only Son. So these are scriptures that when people come in and like, I'm struggling with the higher power. We get that every time because, you know, we feel like we've been punished. We feel like he let me down. God, he's the one that's causing all the problems in my life. You know, this is our opportunity. These are scriptures that can confirm who he is. That's why we have they're witnesses for us. The evidence, you know, of who he is. All of, he's fulfilled the scriptures. So, you know, and we can help people see Jesus as the Messiah and enter into the kingdom. You know, it says that unless you're born again, you can't even enter into the kingdom. You can't even see the kingdom. So how can you be transformed if you don't even know what the kingdom of heaven is like, and who's here for you, the Holy Spirit, who he is that's going to help you transform and be renewed. so that you can live a life here on earth that's pleasing to the Father, you know, and fulfilling your purpose. Hallelujah. So Jesus became man and dwelt, right? He no longer has to live in fire and mountains and tents and temples and clouds and tabernacles, right? He lives in us. He came.
The tabernacle.
We are. Exactly. We are the temple. We are his temple. You know, and you know, you couldn't even touch these holy dwellings of God in the Old Testament. You die if you were not clean. So, hello. That's why we feel like we're dead men walking sometimes, because we're living in unclean areas. You know, we need to keep our house clean, our heart clean. So the presence of God lives and his glory shines in us, through us, upon us, now in us, through us, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. We are his temple. Hallelujah. You know, and we don't want to grieve him or quench him. We want him to have full access to our eyes, our ears, our mouth, to the senses, because that's how he manifests through us. Hallelujah. So John 14:6 says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's a major verse in scripture. That's evidence of who Jesus is. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the truth, revelation, understanding of God, the Holy Spirit, information about God, the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus is the life, the Father, God himself, communication to the Father between us. He gives us the ability to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Acts 4:12 says there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. Only by confession, the truth about who we are, right? And placing your faith in Jesus, who came to earth to be born as a man and die and was raised again, can a person be saved from the kingdom of darkness into the glory of light, the kingdom of light, God. So I just want to talk a little bit about the salvation. Salvation comes through confession, believing, Romans 10:9. Salvation is a brand new start. Hallelujah. You know, that's John 3:16. Salvation is a gift, not a reward. Praise the Lord. So don't try working for it. Just receive what he's already done. Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace. Hallelujah. Salvation makes people new creations. Right? Galatians 6:15 and 2 Corinthians 5:17. Salvation gives eternal life. Romans 6:23. So to be saved means to faith in Christ alone, to trust, put your faith in Christ alone. He's the only one. So when I confessed that I'm powerless over a situation in my life that's causing turmoil, problems, wars, rumors of wars. Like, that's, think about it. All those things that God says, that the temptations, all those things, right? If I'm having those issues, then only God, only him, only Jesus can save me. That's what he came here for. Hallelujah.
And then, see, in the Old Testament, they had to, most people know the story, had to tie the rope to the priest and mm-hmm. he confessed all night just to go in to the Holy of Holies, which is the presence of God, where Amen. The Holy Spirit was at. Because you die and you have to be righteous. And Jesus said, I must go so I can send the Holy Spirit to you. Holy Spirit could not come to us until Jesus' blood covered our Amen. Sins and made us righteous, Romans 5. So then when we're in right standing with God, then the Holy Spirit was able to come into us so we could be filled and do the things Jesus did, but also for a changed life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God, right.
The grace for us to change.
Right.
Grace is God's influence upon the life, the reflection. I'm trying to think of how that's worded. God's divine influence upon the heart, the reflection seen in the life.
So it's, Amen.
Is giving us the power to change. You know, we battle. Then there's dry alcoholics that are just struggling.
Right.
But it's his grace to change us that set us free, that we become new creations.
Amen. That's right. And then we're quenched.
Mm-hmm.
And we're
made alive,
quenched. Like, you know, it's just, it's amazing to me because I know where I've been. Like, I think about these things and what a miracle, you know, just having the opportunity to be able to have the Holy Spirit live in us. I mean, that's what they yearned for in the Old and New Testament, you know, and then having, you know, right before the Old Testament, I should say, and then in the New Testament before Christ released the Holy Spirit, they were yearning for that. And then when they got it, it must have been such a revelation for them because they knew the change. You know, we're born into so much distractions. They didn't have as much, you know, stuff going on to distract them.
The enemy sowed tons of distractions.
Yeah. You know, where it made it harder and harder. And how we've been pushed away from the core. Most of those people were living according to the word, like really traditionally, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they understood a lot better of what the Holy Spirit was offering them, you know, a new life. Praise the Lord. So being born again does not change your mentality, right? It just changed your position from dead man to living a life into, but you still have a purpose. And until you understand your purpose, you're going to, you know, just be in a position and be frustrated. And that's not why God created you. He created you with a purpose and a plan. And in order for us to fulfill that, we need to be able to understand him when he's calling us to do things, when he's calling us to say things.
Your eternity starts here when you get saved. You are now an eternal being. And people used to say that. I never really got that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to hear that for years and years. You know, you're actually...
Starts now.
You are born again. You're made alive eternally. And that's why we'll never die, because you just lay the body down. You're just as alive when you come out of the body as you were in the body.
Just another transition. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, like I wasn't born again and then, oh my God, I'm born again. It was a transition that happened for me. You know what I mean? Like for probably everybody listening. So the same thing happens when you leave the spirit man, right? It's a transition from the dead spirit man to an alive new spirit man that can live this life. And I feel like because now people who are born again, it's another transition where it's not like, oh my God, where's my body? You know what I mean?
I think if we're old, you know, because some people die young, but
yeah, well, then there's a freedom. You're out of that shell.
A bunch of weights of like, oh man, I'm young again.
Uh-huh. Praise the Lord.
I always thought, man, Lord, you just let people see when someone dies, let them see in the spirit for like 2 minutes. So then, like, your grandmother, who's 93 years old, she comes out of her body and she turns young. And, oh, my God, you should have been there. She's beautiful. Oh, my God, she's so happy. And then you see the ones that weren't going to heaven. And, man, that really get people getting saved, you know, when they seen that. Like, oh, gosh, I don't want to see these tormenting things come up.
Mm-mm.
That'd be wild. Nobody would grieve over someone that died that was saved if they seen him come out and young again.
No, they'd be happy for that person. They'd be like, cheering.
Reality.
And
what's
that's
happening.
What we should be doing. Exactly.
Yeah. Woohoo. Be like, I know you're going to miss your mom. Like, my mom's happy now.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, Romans 12, 2 talks about the being transformed by the renewing of the mind. So, and to be renewed means to go back to the original mind of Christ. You know, it's the way God created us originally before we came here, even on the earth. He wants us back. He wants us back, his children. It's like when my kids acted in stages of their life, cuckoo crazy, And then now they're like, oh my God, there they are. Look at that. Yeah. They're acting. We're talking about Christ, Jesus. It's like loving, you know, like, yay. But there was a time we were talking about like, wah, you know, like what's going on with them, Lord? And now.
My pastor had a lot of grandkids, Bobby Hopkins' dad. And he'd say, well, another one reached the age that pops is dumb as a box of rocks. Don't know nothing. Because now I got to be another 7 years before he comes around. Oh, you're so smart. They all go through that stage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so did I. We all, correct. So, you know, it's by faith we understand. And that's why we need to place our faith in Christ. Who do you say I am is important. Because the Messiah is the Savior, the Lord, the King. And if we believe he's the Messiah, that's why he said that. He said, on this rock, on that belief, on that faith, that kind of faith is what's going to give you the understanding of the kingdom. You know, it takes faith. So, and what is faith? Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's the things, the substance. So it's already happened, right? The thing and the evidence of things not seen. It's just believing
that seen.
God already has completed it. It is finished. So truth is knowing, faith is understanding, and the works that we get motivated by faith, right, is the action, is wisdom. So truth, faith, and wisdom. You know, it's the wisdom. When we know the truth about something, we're eager to live it, you know, there's peace. So it was scripture that helped me receive, take the keys and authority from Jesus. He said, I'm going to give you the keys, right? And the power of the Holy Spirit from God I needed in order to convert, right? In order to convert, we need the power of the Holy Spirit is what transforms us because we're following him and we're changing daily, sanctify daily. So there's something to learn every day about who I used to be, who I'm. You know what I mean? Like, what am I doing that's not in line with God? So I have to come to myself daily. And when I say that, it means, okay, God, if there's ever turmoil or a worry that happens or, you know, fear, that means I'm fighting truth. I'm fighting God's truth, okay? It might appear to be true to me. But if there's turmoil in it or if there's something that's causing strife or chaos or wars and rumors of wars, just go back to Genesis, you know, then darkness or any one of the things that I read about, you know, rivalries and all the things that are from the land, the kingdom of darkness, selfish ambitions, all that stuff, then I'm not in the truth. I'm not in who God says I am and who he is. And if I am lives in me, then I am who, what I am is living in you. Am I money? Am I status? Or am I Christ in me, the hope of glory? Patient, tolerant. Am I tolerant? Am I loving? You know, that's how we know.
Greater love have no man than to lay his life down for his friend.
Amen. So, my mind to receive and believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that I could make him Lord and Savior of my life. I had to get to a place. I believe Jesus and I am filled with Christ in me, the hope of God. I believe Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior without a doubt. And that means whenever I have doubt, whether it's in my finances, in my health, in my parenting, then I'm not allowing Jesus to be the Lord. Because of that area, the Lord, the Messiah of that area in my heart. Okay? Doesn't mean my spirit's not born again, but it means my mind is not transformed and renewed. And I have to get into that scripture, into scripture, talk to someone who loves God and is following Christ like you, a fellowship, church, mentors. These are important people God put signs for us so that we don't have to be alone. I mean, he had 12 disciples that he was discipling. So there's something in discipleship. We need to do it. We need to be disciples so that we can be disciples. Right? That's good. Thank you, God. So, and we have to be the power of example of who God is in your life. Who is God in my life? What does he look like in my life? Because that's what people are looking for. They're looking for him. And so, like I was before I knew him, I was looking for the best situations that I can find in people's lives and say, oh, that must be the way to live. And then I'd find myself, you know, because deep down, they weren't living right. You know, it has to be in all areas of our life if we want to be powers of example and good, healthy mentors. So, disciples. So by hearing the word, meditating, speaking, and believing the word, and learning the truth about who Jesus is how it works. It's how I am inside, you know, when I want to know, you know, because we say these things in these programs and, or, you know, why is my life like this? Why is it? So you need how-to directions. The Word of God is the how-to book. You know, I used to think it was the big book of AA or the DSM-5. Well, at the time it was 4. I think it's 10 now or 15. Who knows what it is? And that's the medical book. I used to think it was that for diagnosis. But you know what? I let God identify me. And when he identifies things that aren't of him, I have to look at that, rebuke it, confess it, rebuke it, replace it with him. Hallelujah. That's deliverance. And you know, in the 12 steps, we do that. If you do those 12 steps as it relates to the Word of God, you're going to do a deliverance and you're going to put the Word of God in those dark places. You're going to put light. The Word of God is light. So how I am is how it works in my life. So if I'm not acting right, that's how it's working in my life. If I'm acting right with the Lord, that's how it works, right? So I forgiven, redeemed, reconciled with God, myself and others, rescued, bought with a price, and belong to God, known by God through fellowship with Jesus, chosen by God, set apart to receive the Holy Spirit of Christ in me, so I can be justified before God through the life that flows out of me for the glory of God. Hallelujah. So I am, lives in me. I am accepted, saved, loved, alive, free, secure, and sealed only through the blood of Christ. And so are you listening, whether you believe it or not. That's why we need to get our faith in line with what he says. He says that about me. There are days I don't always believe that, but I got to declare that, you know, and that's how I got to change. I got to renew the thinking. My mind wants to go back to that. I did it on Monday. I'm worthless. I'm minimized, you know, and you know, God is so good. And he just loves us so much. I feel so much love from God. Because he like straightens it out for me, you know, I'm crooked. I'm like cockeyed. He's like helping me out here, you know, and he's like, no, listen, stop. Nobody's worthy of anything. We, you know, I make you worthy, but you're worth it. You're so valuable, you know, and that's the most important thing, that I am valuable to his kingdom and to him. And he wants to use that. I am currency for God here on earth. My time is his currency to get the word out, you know? Yeah. Amen. And so are you. Like when I say me, my, it's we, us, those listening. I just like to not try to point my finger. So I got into that skill of just let me make it personal so that people don't take it personal. So accepting Christ as the Messiah, God, my Lord and Savior, is the solution. There is no other. We must be born again, be a new creation. We can't fix the old man. He must die, and a new man is risen with Christ. Seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Right? He's our deliverer. He was the deliverer of the Jews, the nation. They understood the prophecies in the Bible, the Hebrew Bible. They knew when he said to Peter, only God could tell you that. He knew that they knew what he meant. Okay. Who I, and that's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees and that whole, the Romans, everyone, people were like shocked. They were like, who's this guy think he is? You know, claiming to be the Son, claiming to be God. I am, you know, claiming to know Moses and Noah and all of them before they even were here. They were like, you know, those were their forefathers. They were like, who, what? Abraham, you know?
They thought he was saying he's been alive for hundreds of years.
Yes, exactly. Even before they were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, who I am in Christ is the only way I can be a new creation, born of God, adopted by God, a child of the promise, a citizen of heaven, blessed with every spiritual blessing. This is for everyone listening. This is for you. I'm declaring this. God's workmanship, a temple of the Holy Spirit, a member of Christ's body, every piece of us, every part of God's body, every one of us is important to him, valuable, sealed, made pure, loved, taken care of, victorious, going to live forever, eternity, in God's plan, will, as an heir of all his word, his will and testament, all of it. We're heirs. Hallelujah. So it takes a renewing, a rebirth in the spirit, right? A washing, purification from the finger of Jesus Christ, like the water vessel. When he purified when he made the water into wine, it was really his DNA he put in there. They got so intoxicated that it was stronger than any wine. It was his DNA. It's like the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he's in us. But when he bubbles up and comes over us, you feel intoxicated. You feel euphoric. You feel blessed. All these, you know, it's an influence of our exterior of the natural man gets hit, you know?
Yeah, we're very chemical in makeup, and I believe
he knows how to, yes,
and all kinds,
yes,
of stuff when his presence,
that's what
comes,
happens. Yeah. Yeah, it's like he ignites you inside. You know, some people shake, some people there's so many things that happen. Some people fall, some people laugh. If you were to look, that's what they thought happened to them up in the upper room, that they were drunk. You know, I believe it was God's DNA, his finger, that intoxicated them.
Oh, yeah, it was the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. So where are we? Oh, my God, time goes by so fast. So it takes a renewing of the mind to change the old man behaviors, the thinking, okay, not the spirit, the thinking. You're a new spirit, but the soul needs to be renewed. And belief system. And the only way I can clean up, renew, change the dead man mentality, the old thinking, is by the washing of the word. That is how the word is what transforms us and renews us, because we need new information. We need new instructions on how to operate the soul, the brain, the mind, the mood, the emotions that we go through here. If we have new tools, new skills, God gives it to us. Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life, and his testimony and God's will and testimony and testament is the word of God in the Bible.
I always say it's like I gave Luann a Maserati.
Okay.
And then she comes back, this thing's junk, I'm sweating, and I'm like, it's got AC, it's got this, it's got that. You need to read the owner's manual.
Amen.
The owner's manual don't make it get it. It's already there. She just needs to see what it has.
Amen.
And the Bible shows us what we've been given when we become born again. And if you don't know, you'll walk in darkness and troubles, and God's given us great, mighty things.
Need
to read and
amen.
Learn what we've been given.
That's right. And learn how to operate properly under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us how we should walk, how we should talk, how we should be thinking, how we should be seeing things in the Spirit. So Jesus Christ is the how it works in my life, and he should be in your life. He is the inner interior work in my mansion, my heart, my heart, my kingdom, right? He gives us a piece of land and he says, now go be a king, a queen, a lord of your land, ownership of your heart, because he's the king of kings. So he gave me territory. When the king gives his heirs a piece of land, they're not with him when they go afar, right? He's in another location and they are considered the king of that territory, the lord of that territory, the owner of that territory. But when they're in the presence of the king, they are, that's his territory. He owns it still, but they manage it. Learn how to manage the territory that God gave you in your heart. Learn how to manage it so it's in his image and likeness, because that's what he wants us to do. That's the whole point. And in step one, we confess that we need him, but we need to know who we're confessing and replacing our confession. Know who are we putting in the reign of that? It's no longer the problem that I'm suffering. I think it might be judgment or alcohol or, you know, these things, but it's really mismanagement because I don't have the manager, the governor, the Holy Spirit. And even if I do, I'm not listening to him. And I need to put him in that right spot. Jesus died for us so that we can have him, and resurrected so that his spirit can live in us. And we need to take that privilege. It's a privilege to have him and honor him by fulfilling his plan and purpose, his heart. Let his heart be your heart so that when you go out. And so what happens is when we say, God, search my heart, he'll give you his thoughts and his ideas. So with that, James, do you want to say anything? Do you want to? We have only a minute left. I know. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
You're good. You're good. So I just want to tell everybody, just if you haven't confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, declare that he lived, he died, and he was resurrected for you to save you today, to save you. Make him the king, the Lord of your heart, and let the Holy Spirit reign. Give the Holy Spirit permission to reign. All right. I love you. I love everybody listening. I'm so happy that you joined us today. If you need me, 631-745-7980. You can always reach out and just ask me to pray. If you want to talk about anything, you can always call the station. You're listening to WCNO 89.9 Kingdom Recovery, Friday, 5 p.m. Shalom, shalom. We agape you. See you next week, or talk to you next week. 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come in the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. There's nothing stronger.